is Paola Tester. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. The date is the 7th of August 2009 and the time is 15:20. Please could you tell me your full name, your date of birth and where you're from?
Yes, my name's David Bell. My date of birth is 23rd of January 1967. And I live in St Albans in Hertfordshire, just north of London.
Have you made the trip especially today to come to the plinth?
Yeah, the trip here was especially for this, with the family along as well. Yeah.
Who's here with you today?
I've got my wife, three children, and my dad and his partner.
Will they all be watching from the square?
I think they will be if they drink their coffees in time or whatever they've gone off to do now. Yeah. I don't know really. I think I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be quite nice, you know, seeing that view that nobody else really gets to see. Yeah, I think it'll be good.
And has coming here met your expectations, if you had any?
I suppose that's difficult beforehand. I think all the organisation wise, I think it's met my expectations. It's all been very, very well organised, and I've looked at a couple of other people who've been on the plinth, and I think no, it looks good. It looks a good diversity.
Have you been watching the project online?
Now and again, I wouldn't say I've watched lots, but I've seen a few, and I just watched a couple just beforehand because we got here early.
How did you first hear about the project?
I think I heard it talked about on the radio. I think it was on Radio 4 some time ago, before it was really getting going and they were about to start up the website, and I think that's where I heard it and then went through that process of putting all the details in.
And what is it that inspired you to apply?
Good question. I think I've always come down quite a lot, fetch the kids to Trafalgar Square, taking them to the museums and doing some sort of sketching with them in Trafalgar Square, so I've always liked, you know, coming here. We have relatives up in Newcastle, so we've seen the Angel of the North quite often. So I've seen some of Gormley's work, but not a huge amount. And I thought the two things together, I thought, why not? I thought you won't get another chance to stand in those types of places, you know, with kings and generals, as they say in the advertisement.
And is the setting of the square significant for you?
I think it probably because we come here a lot as a family, so it's, you know, in sort of day trips we come down, and we often come to sort of Trafalgar Square and, you know, walk along the river and then come up at this area. So yes, but I think it probably is for everybody, because Nelson's Column and Trafalgar Square is quite a iconic area, isn't it? You know, in sort of the whole London sort of scene.
And what happened when you heard you had a place?
I think then I had to start thinking about, okay, what should I do? I was thinking, oh, that's good. I wasn't expecting it because I imagined lots of people applied, but it was really thinking, okay, what do I do now?
And how did you feel when you got the email or the phone call to say you'd been given an hour?
I suppose it's like winning a prize, isn't it? Or, you know, you feel as, you know, it was that sort of feeling, you know, when you've won some lottery or something like that, you know, you've got your chance to do something. And I think I don't know if I got the phone or the email, but I think I got the email first maybe, and I was probably working from home and the kids were around, so it was quite good.
And did you tell the rest of the family straight away?
Yeah, I told them all straight away. Yeah, they were excited as well. Yeah.
And what have you decided to do for the hour?
Not a great deal. I think unfortunately my singing voice isn't up to being able to do anything on that front. So what I decided to do is I fetched a deck chair with me. And I fetched lots of technical equipment, all computers, a computer and iPod and all those types of things, really to sort of they're sort of icons of different parts of my life. I was brought up in the northwest of England in Morecambe on the coast, so that's the deck chair, and I'm now my job is a lecturer at Brunel University in computer science and computing, so that's the sort of tie-in between those two things. But I also like the idea of seeing if I could fall asleep on top of the plinth on a deck chair. I thought that would be quite a good feeling if you can get a few Zeds in such a public place.
And do you think you'll be able to manage that?
I think so. I think even if I don't go a full deep sleep, I think I'll definitely give it a good try. It's not too sunny, so it's probably good sleeping weather, actually.
And you say these things show a little bit about you, but why have you chosen those things specifically?
I think when I was growing up in a sort of seaside resort, there's lots of sort of things that make you think about the seaside. But I think sort of the deck chairs on the beaches were always, you know, and that sort of, you know, the old wooden deck chair that you fold out is very, you know, I think that's quite iconic for the area. I think that was my reasoning.
And do you have fond memories of by the sea?
Oh yeah, I enjoyed it growing up on the northwest coast. It rains quite a bit, but it's the Morecambe area, it's very close to the Lake District, and Morecambe itself is nice. You've got a nice view across the bay to the Lake District, the hills and things like that, so it's quite a nice place. And there's something about those, I was growing up there in the 1980s, and the nice thing about those, they probably had their boom times about 50 years before that, so they're slightly run down, the seaside resorts, and I quite, you know, so that you have a lot of the benefits of quite a big holiday resort, which probably came from 50 years ago, so fairgrounds and all these types of things and nightclubs and all that stuff, which made it a good place to grow up.
And do you go back to Morecambe?
Now and again, you know, probably not too often, but probably about once a year or so. I've still got family in Morecambe, so I go back there. Yeah.
And are you trying to put across any particular message about yourself or represent yourself in any particular way by doing the things that you're doing?
Not really. I didn't want to do anything that, you know, is too obvious. I wanted it to be a little bit more subtle, rather than sort of, you know, write things or do, you know, I've seen some people who've been doing those, which are good, you know, but I thought I'd rather do one that's sort of a little harder to guess, and probably get my, you know, sort of friends and colleagues saying to me, you know, why did you do, what's the deck chair, or they don't know my background, whatever.
You mentioned your work before. Would you mind telling us a little bit more about what you do and how you got into that?
Okay, I've spent all my life since I left university working in computing in various companies and in a few countries as well. But more recently, instead of commercial work, I decided I'd quite like to go and work academically and go and work in a university. So I did a PhD, and then sort of a couple of years ago, I've started working lecturing at Brunel University in West London in computing, in network computing and software engineering and things like that.
And have you found that to be a positive change?
Yeah, it's I think I'm a believer in change is good anyway. You know, I think if you do anything for a long length of time, it's nice to do some form of change. But I found it really good. I wouldn't have been able to do this in my 20s. I think I had different things that I wanted to do in work and things like that. But I think with a family and sort of the stage, I mean, once you've had kids, you have a different view on sort of education and things like that, which, you know, I'm enjoying. Yeah.
And you've lived and worked abroad, have you, or has your work taken you to different places?
I've worked prior to going into academia. I've worked here about 15 years in the city, up until about six years ago, and I've worked in Frankfurt, and then I've done jobs where I spent few days a week in New York, or I also did a job where I did a lot of, for about 2 or 3 years, traveling in Latin America and the Far East when I was doing computing systems for emerging markets. So I've managed to have quite a nice sort of, what do you call it, working, but also getting sort of seeing the world. And it's the same academically as well. You do a lot of conferences and get to see quite a bit of the world, which I like.
And has that mostly brought positive experiences of seeing different places?
I think so. I think I think seeing other parts of the world, meet, you know, I think the main thing is meeting other people and seeing how people live is always a positive thing. And then also, if you can do it often in a working context where you meet people who are working in those countries as well, you get a very different view than if you do your hop over to a particular city for a couple of days. So I think I've always found it very positive and enjoyed doing that.
And as you can imagine, we're talking to 2,400 people, so we're trying to find out a little bit about people's backgrounds and who you are. So what kinds of things do you like to do when you're not working?
What do I do when I'm not working? I like playing tennis. I play quite a bit of tennis twice a week. A lot of family stuff with having three kids. I do a lot of taxiing around the place. I think other things are sort of general things, like restaurants and pubs. St. Albans is one of the, I don't know if it's one of the places that advertises it as the most pubs per square mile in the country. So it's quite a nice social small city. So I enjoy that. So I think they're the types of things. I enjoy skiing. Yeah, I go over to southern Germany quite often and do quite a lot of skiing.
Do you do that with your family?
Yeah, we all go over there probably a couple of times a year and do some skiing over in Bavaria.
And what impact do you hope that going up on the plinth will have on you?
I don't really expect any big impact, but I think it's like anything, any experience, you know, you talk about them, so it has that sort of, it becomes part of your sort of journey through life. It's things that you remember. Whenever I come back to Trafalgar Square now, I'll always remember being on the plinth. So I think it's I'm not looking for any profound life-changing experience, but I think just having something, you know, becomes part of your view of London or this part of London.
And would you like to have an impact on others, either your friends and family that are watching or people in the square?
Not really. I don't want to my aim isn't to have a particularly impact on people. I think it was more really to reflect my sort of a bit like a statue, in essence. You're a snapshot of somebody at a certain point of time, a bit like a photograph. And rather than, I think that's what my sort of aim was, which isn't really pitched at having any impact.
Do you have any hopes or fears about what will happen when you're up on the plinth?
No, not really. I suppose my fear is it rains, which a lot of plinthers, I imagine, have that worry. But other than that, no, I think I'm looking forward to it.
Would you like people to engage with you from the square, try and interact with you in any way?
I have no problem with that, but I think if I'm trying to sleep, it might... I think they'll just disappear into the periphery. I'll probably have more interaction because I'll play around with on Facebook and interact with some of my colleagues and friends.
You'll be doing that from the plinth?
Yes, yeah, so I'll be doing that from the plinth. So I'll... Which is the bit that also interested me as well, that idea that, because it is all very much media oriented, lots of cameras and sound, and I think that idea of interacting with the web electronically and being viewed electronically, I thought was quite interesting.
And you mentioned earlier some trips to the square that you've had with your children and doing sketches and things. Is that something you like doing? Are you an artistic person?
I think so. I like doing it for fun. You know, those types of sort of sketches, and I think the kids also enjoy doing that type of stuff. So I try and, you know, I like the idea of, if you're going to an art museum. You do a bit of something yourself, so it's not just viewing what other people do. You know, you can sort of, you know, do your own little piece. And I think it's such an, you know, London's such an interesting city for doing those types of things. Yeah, I think that's it. So hobby artist.
And have you participated in arts projects before?
No real projects. What I want, I think about 3 or 4 years ago, I did some oil painting at Brunel University in their art department, and they sort of, all the beginners at doing oil painting, they did a little exhibit in the university's gallery, which I think that's my only claim to fame on an artistic front. I think really I'm quite a scientific person. I've always worked in sort of engineering and scientific disciplines, so I haven't got too involved with that type of stuff.
How did it feel to exhibit your work and have other people looking at it?
I liked it, actually. It was quite interesting, but it's very similar to when you develop computing or computer software. You probably don't think so, but when you actually produce some software and people are using it and it has a certain look, and they use it in a certain way, it's a similar type of feeling. You know, it's people are using things that you've actually produced. I think it's that same type of emotion.
Would you say in your work there's a mixture of a kind of engineering or kind of theoretical and a creative side to what you're putting together?
I try to do that, and I think I've also got an interest in sort of the human side of things as well. So it isn't just the art, you know, any creative thing on its own and computing on its own. It's how it relates to people, groups of people, you know, is quite interesting, and that's also in the type of research I do.
What are some of the things that are important to you in your life at the moment?
I think it would be family's important. I think it's mainly, as it always been, I think it's enjoying what I do. You know, whether it's social things or working things, I've always tried to make sure I do things that I actually enjoy, and I've always been very lucky that I've always been able to do those types of things. But I think family's probably the most important thing at the moment.
And if you think back to when you updated your profile on the website, you will have put three words in there to describe yourself. How would you describe yourself here now?
Oh, I can't remember what I put on the website. I think I might have put something like tennis, computing, and what else? And maybe family, something like that. Yeah. But I'm not sure I did put those in.
And what does it mean to you to be a part of this project and one of 2,400 people going up on the plinth?
I think it's interesting. I like the. I think the project's the project is a very interesting sort of mix of media, location, people, and it's nice to be part of that. I think. I think especially if it becomes a proper archive, being able to look at that in years ahead and different people on that, I think it will be, you know, it's nice to be part of this type of project. Yeah.
And do you think that we'll see a good representation of the people of Britain?
That's a more difficult one, isn't it? Because I think the type of people who want to climb onto a plinth, I don't know, the academic in me would question the validity of that as a general representation, but you've probably got a representation of the different parts of Britain, but probably people with a certain personality type, probably, yeah.
And could you tell us, since you first applied and to this moment now, which is 20 minutes before you're going to go up, how you felt from one stage to the next? How has your journey been?
I think it's probably gone through phases of when you're it's sort of an inquisitive interest when I heard about it, and I applied for it, to a bit of shock probably when you find out you're actually going to be on the plinth, to then sort of a relaxed phase thinking about the things I'm going to do. And then more recently, in the last sort of hour or two, it's probably more excitement. You know, you want to actually go on the plinth and actually get on there.
And what would you like to take away with you after you've been up there?
I think it's memories. I think, like I mentioned before, it's you've got memories of that point in time, and also when you come back, because I quite often come to this part of London, I think I'll always have that thing to bore my friends about when I'm reminiscing about these things in years to come. I think probably about it.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.